exposing the darkness, revealing the light. Welcome to episode 21 of the Blind Exorcist podcast. I am Justin D., your host, and I am so happy that you have came back and you've tuned in. And if you're brand new to the podcast, welcome. Thank you so much for stopping by. I have something awesome to share with you guys today. Now, remember, last episode, if you've not checked it out, listen to the last episode. I interviewed a Southern Baptist pastor who had demons, and he went through an exorcism. I, along with two other people on my team, led this man of God, a pastor, through an exorcism. He's not the only one that I've worked with as an exorcist. I got another one. How about that? Today, I'm going to be interviewing the Reverend Yvonne Gunning from Australia, and she had demons. Now, Yvonne is in a denomination of the Anglican Church that is evangelical. So they believe in salvation, the Trinity, baptism, basically all the foundational core concepts of traditional Christianity. And she had demons. If you know anyone that's a pastor, a priest, a bishop, a reverend, or anyone in leadership in church, I encourage you right now, share this out to them right now. Say, check this out. You need to listen to this. Most Christian churches do not believe Christians can have demons, and the devil loves it. The safest place a demon can be is in most churches Sunday morning. They are absolutely unthreatened whatsoever. They love going to church because they're not threatened. They're not confronted. They're not interrogated. They know that the people are so dumbed down spiritually that they are at a very safe place. So they just come hang out in churches all the time because Christians, the majority, do not believe that they can have demons, and they're fully demonized. Most Christians are. Not all, but most. We need to get real. We are in the last days. There are so many people that need freed from demons. Who's going to help them? It's so sad. All these generations of Christian churches that have taught Christians cannot have demons, that's just the easy path out. Many Christians have demons, and so do people that want to come out of the world. They have demons. You think when they get saved that their demons just go away? And everything's just a sinful nature that they struggle with, and that's it? No, I wish it was that easy. It's not. My life is proof of that, and everybody that I interview on this podcast, this is the main reason I have this, is so that Christians can start to understand that the struggles you have in life that you cannot overcome, the suicide, the depression, the sexual perversion, the alcoholism, on and on it goes, that Christians have. Those things that you can't overcome. Who's to say that's not demons? You've tried everything, and nothing's worked. You've tried fasting. You've tried praying. You've tried reading the Bible. You've tried listening to worship music. You've tried everything that the modern Western Christian church says. Go to counseling. You've tried it. Nothing's helped. You're still suicidal. You're still depressed. You're still into addictions, isolation. Why is that? Demons. Sorry for going on about this, but you guys know it's been listening for a while. I am passionate about this. I had demons. And Reverend Yvonne Gunning had demons. We're going to step into her story here. Get ready. It's very enlightening. And again, I ask that you would share this out to pastors, reverends, priests, bishops, deacons, elders, all of them, to challenge their thinking. You have a pastor in the last episode, and you have a pastor coming up here now that's going to share her story of how she had demons. And it's really good. We're going to get into the attacks she has had from witchcraft and Satanism at her church, The church itself was built by Freemasons. This is very interesting. This is a lot more than just her having demons. This really unfolds into how detailed Satan's schemes can be to keeping people in bondage. Now listen, Jesus Christ has supreme power. We understand that. That's why we're exorcists, to kick him out. I hope that this will encourage you today. This will inspire you. And if you've not joined the podcast, why not? Join it, subscribe to it, share it out. And I thank you so much for doing that. Without any further ado, let's meet the Reverend Yvonne Gunning. Yvonne, welcome to the Blind Exorcist.
Hi, Justin. It's great to be talking to you today from Aussie.
Yes, I am so excited. I always say that with every guest that I have come on. But Australia is an amazing country. I love it. I've never had an opportunity to visit. I would love to. One of my best friends, his older brother, went to Australia and has lived there ever since he was 30 years old. So beautiful country, so much history, and I'm excited, looking forward to get into it. So I think as a start, what we'll do is just touch base on your childhood a little bit so the audience can get a feel for where you came from, your roots. After that, we'll go ahead and start to talk about how you were called to be a reverend in the Anglican Church. Guys, we're going to talk about Yvonne's exorcism. Yes, here we have another reverend, another minister who had demons. So we're going to touch on that. And we've got a lot more to talk about besides that. She was targeted by witches in her local area. The church that she is a minister at was built by Masons, Freemasonry. So we touched on that last episode, and we're going to touch on it this episode a little bit too. Nasty stuff. So there's a lot of interesting content here. Get ready. Yvonne, let me come to you. Can you tell us a little bit about where you were born and raised in Australia and a little bit about your childhood? Did you have a father? Did you have a mother, siblings? And just give us a feel for what your early years were like.
I grew up in the southwestern suburbs of Sydney. Across the road, we had a river where I learnt to fish with my dad. So my family was mum, dad, and I had two brothers, and I was in the middle, older brother, younger brother. And I knew my parents loved me, which was great, but they both came from very traumatized childhoods themselves. And so there was a lot of drama in my household as I grew up. I experienced a lot of fear. My mum was Aboriginal. And if people know anything about Australia, we had a white Australia policy here. And so my mum was very fearful that I might be taken as a child because I was creamy in colour. So whilst I had a mixture in the household of knowing that I was deeply loved by my mum and dad, it would be considered to be quite abusive. So it was pretty tough growing up. I was a latchkey kid. And that meant that mum worked and we'd come home from school and have to look after us. So, yeah, so there was a mixture of good and tough and love all together.
Thank you for your honesty. And this, unfortunately, is a very common occurrence for many people around the world. And it's interesting for, I think, all of us to understand that many of the pastors, many of the ministers, many of the bishops, the priests that you see in these positions come from similar homes. Not all of them. Some of them absolutely come from supportive homes. but a lot of them do not. And it's something to keep in mind. It allows us as people who attend churches to realize that they are broken people too. Very much. Thank you again, Yvonne, for sharing that with us. And let's touch a little bit on the Aboriginal people, the tribes in Australia. I'm not sure if everybody knows about that, but it is quite popular. They have their own customs, their own cultures, and they also have their own witchcraft practices. Can you touch a little bit on that? And was your mother involved in any of the kind of earthy spirits, that type of stuff from the Aboriginal tribes? Are you sincerely sick and tired? I mean, dude, sick and tired of the torment, the emotional suffering, the depression, the anxiety, the panic attacks, or worse yet, the compulsive addictions that you just can't shake. Are you ready to get rid of your demons? If you answered yes, I'd like to invite you right now to go to my website, www.justind.com, and click on appointment and book a session with me.
Yes, she was. One of the difficulties in my family, because my grandmother was raised as a domestic, she never owned that she was Aboriginal, which is pretty funny because if you saw a picture of her, she was very brown and looked very Aboriginal. So there was a lot of superstition. One of my uncles was constantly dabbling in the occult. I remember going into his room one day and opening a book up and reading it. So they went to clairvoyance, read the teacups, but there were shaman in my family line. So yes, I learnt a little bit about that, but I didn't learn much about my culture, because of the racism in Australia. And my mum and dad were trying to hide the fact that I was Aboriginal and that she was Aboriginal.
So did that impact you? I mean, that had to have been a little bit tough to realize that you're Aboriginal and that was basically denied. I mean, there's a lot of cultural beauty in those tribes. Now, granted, for those who don't know, the Aboriginal people are very similar to what in America we would call like Native Indians. A lot of worship and honoring of the earth, spirits of nature. They have a concept of dream state, which deals with ancestor worship. So there's a lot of that kind of practices in the tribes, and they're vastly different as well. So the tribes really aren't uniform. In my research, it's very interesting. But you being Aboriginal as a child growing up, I'm not sure when you found out about it, but did you find that difficult that it was like, hey, this is a shameful thing, you should hide who you are?
Yes, absolutely. So whilst it was a secret, my dad used to tell people. And when we were out in the backyard, if he was digging in the vegetable garden and he found a witchetty grub, he'd bring it over to me and say, this is a witchetty grub and Aboriginals would eat these, which is a bit odd. But so it was a family secret that we were Aboriginal, but we didn't tell people. So, and sorry, Justin, I've lost the second part of your question.
No, that was it. I was just wondering, you know, how you handled that as a child when in growing up. So, yeah. So eventually, you start migrating toward an interest in the Anglican Church. Can you tell me, you know, you're Aboriginal, not fully practicing, it's in secret, but who introduced you to the Anglican Church? And can you tell us a little bit of the denomination? Some people might not know much about the Anglican Church. Where did it start? What are the denominations like within it? And maybe the hierarchy of leadership within the religion as well.
When I was 12 years old, I went to a camp. I didn't come from a Christian home. My parents did not go to church. And because Mum needed someone to care for us when she was at work, she used to send us to the YMCA camps. And I love them because I learned about being in community. And it was at the time when they still had some Christian input. And the camp director was a Christian. My leader was a Christian. And one night she shared with me about Jesus. And I was so troubled when I crawled into my bunk that night because I hadn't been baptized and I thought I was probably going to hell. And the next morning I went to her and said to her, "What is this about Jesus? I don't understand it, and I'm not baptized. Am I going to go to hell?" And so she shared with me about what Jesus did on the cross, and I made a commitment with her. I prayed with her on the spot and went home and announced to my family that I was going to church. And so they said that was just a phase, of course, that I was going through. And I caught the train just to the next suburb. And at that time, it was actually a Methodist church, wasn't an Anglican church. So the way that I got involved with an Anglican church is after, when I was going to university, I met my husband, who's Jeff. I have two daughters. And he was going to an Anglican church. And when we got married, we just looked for a church where they were teaching the Bible. And so we went to an Anglican church. So that's how I started to go to an Anglican church. It was very biblical and great preaching. And going into ministry, I first began as a school teacher. I taught food science and textiles and design in a high school. And when my two kids were little, when I was teaching casual, I was asked by the local minister at the Anglican church we were attending if I'd consider becoming their children's minister. And so that was my introduction into stepping into the Anglican church and getting involved with ministry. And I went on to train as my children got a little bit older with something called Church Army. So that's why I have a captain in my title, Reverend Captain, because I trained as an evangelist to work in the Anglican Church. That was my intro into getting involved with ministry. It's only been in the last 10 years that I was priested and was invited to lead a church in a diocese that was open to having women as church leaders.
Fascinating. Fascinating. Now, I want to take a different perspective on this for everyone. Thank you, Yvonne, for sharing that. That was awesome to see where you've came from. So let's just dissect this for just a minute. She's raised in a home that had love, but was quite toxic. Lots of fear, lots of shame around being Aboriginal, witchcraft practices from the mother's side, grandmother, uncle. So heavy witchcraft influence ancestrally. And being Aboriginal, this goes back thousands of years. So here she is with demons. I think that's important to mention. She has demons. When you come from a household that is full of fear, control, domination, emotional abuse, physical abuse, oftentimes it leads to people getting demons. And in addition to that, the deep entrenched generational witchcraft curse that she had on her life at birth. How many pastors, ministers, priests start out this way? And many times they become interested in ministry because of the trauma they've been through. They don't want other people to suffer, but they don't realize that they have demons. So here we have Yvonne work her way up to be a leader of a church. She is a reverend with demons. Catch that. We're going to talk about her exorcism here in just a minute. Last episode, we talked with a pastor who had demons. I brought him through the exorcism with two other team members, and the demons came right up in him and spoke right out his mouth, just like you would see in the Bible with Legion happened. I want you to keep this in mind, because I think it's important to understand this, that just because somebody is a pastor, a minister, a bishop, a priest, doesn't mean that they don't have demons. They have open doors. Demons have legal right in them. Sometimes people get the illusion that somebody that's a pastor, a minister, a bishop, a reverend, a priest, that they are not sinners, or that there's no way they could ever have demons. But the truth is, they can and they often do. And we can see this so apparent through all of the Christian ministers and reverends who have fallen into terrible sin, molesting children, having affairs, all kinds of things that happen. How does that happen to a man of God? Simple. They have demons, just like Yvonne did from the childhood up. And if you never go through an exorcism, and if you don't believe a Christian can have demons, chances are you will fall because they're in you. They compel you to sin. I just wanted to point that out and try to get people to understand that these aren't bad people. I had demons. We all know that, all of you who've been listening. My exorcism sessions lasted 14 months, so I'm not judging here, but I'm just trying to pull back the curtain so you guys listening can understand that this is real. The illusion that Christians cannot have demons, when pastors and ministers tell you that Christians can't have demons, that's not true. That is false. They absolutely can have demons, and they require an exorcism. Now, this is going to get interesting. We're going to start talking about Yvonne and a little bit about her exorcism, and then we're going to get into attacks that came against her through witchcraft. We may just flush it all out together, Yvonne, but attacks through witchcraft. And the church that she is a reverend over was built by Freemasons. We talked about Freemasonry last episode. Lots of curses on this church. Now imagine that. I've walked into churches before and have felt evil. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced that, but I have literally walked into churches and sensed evil right in the middle of the church. How is that possible? Curses on the church, witches in the church. Don't think for a minute witches don't come into churches, because they do. And so do warlocks, to try to bring them down. They're on assignment. It absolutely happens, and quite frequently. So Yvonne, let's come over to you and let's talk about this a little bit, just to share this with the audience. Let's talk about your exorcism a little bit, and then let's talk about the witch attacks that have come against you and about the Freemasonry curses that were on the church building where you are the reverend. So go ahead, share some thoughts with us.
Justin, I want to start by saying that I was trained up in a evangelical Anglican system in Sydney, and that meant that I was taught that Christians cannot be demonized. And so I carried that, even though inside, because I was drawn to the charismatic movement within the Anglican system, that you can't be oppressed by a demon. And God has a sense of humor, because my calling to get involved with this was in a prayer meeting. A committed Christian who loved the Lord Jesus and was involved in ministry manifested and locked up in the prayer meeting that I was a part of. And I'd often read Mark's gospel and wondered why demons were being cast out by Jesus all the time, and we didn't see that anymore. And so I knew it was demonic and went on a very steep learning curve. So I was taught that, but Jesus showed me that was wrong. So that was my introduction to learning that Christians could be demonized. I didn't know at that point in time that I had a lot of demonic from childhood abuse and my Aboriginal heritage. So that's my intro into that. But what happened here was a witch infiltrated our church. She came asking for help. She was part of a very violent satanic cult. And that meant the compassion from me of someone that was in desperate need and wanting help and seeking to escape. Knowing that people could be demonized, I got involved with helping her. And for the first 12 months of her coming, she seemed very genuine. She was going to all the prayer meetings. She was having deliverance ministry. I sought the counsel of a lot of people with expertise greater than my own. But of course, as you said earlier, when we are carrying demonic ourselves and when we are under curses, we have open doors. And when she reached the stage, because I believe she was a plant, she was sent in to take me down and prevent the growth that's now occurring in the church, she turned on us. And not only did she make a formal complaint that was false, she threatened to kill me. And she obviously was very involved at actively doing curses and spells and left a threatening curse in the hall one evening, which she claims, of course, that she didn't do. So I was vulnerable and I began to get sick. And one night I was praying, crying out to God, and I said, Jesus, I'm out of my depth and I'm unwell and I need help. I'm here leading a church and I'm unwell. Please help me. And the next day I had a woman ring me and she said, have you heard of this guy called Pastor Selwyn Van Wyk? And so that began my journey. I immediately contacted Selwyn and he served and continues to serve as a consultant, assisting our church with the demonic attack that we've encountered, and has come and spoke here. And he worked with me to close all the doors that were opened from my childhood and my Aboriginal heritage. And so that's how I began the journey of making sure that I myself was not vulnerable to be taken out by the enemy.
Thank you, Jesus, for Pastor Selwyn Van Wyk. And he has been interviewed here. He also has been trained by Dr. Bob Larson. And Selwyn has a wonderful ministry in Australia. He travels from city to city, helping so many people who have demons get freed up. He's an awesome man of God, and I'm so happy that you found him. And this is another interesting concept that as exorcists, we're always on alert for people that come to us that may be getting out of witchcraft, Satanism, et cetera, because sometimes people are sent to as a plant, as Yvonne mentioned, in the church, but also as somebody to waste our time. If Satan can get somebody in front of you that is acting and not really wanting help and taking up all your time with three or four people that are exorcists, in his mind, in Satan's mind, it's a win, because he's wasting our time, so we cannot help people who really want help. So with experience in exorcism, you can very quickly figure this out up front. And Yvonne said she was brand new to this at the time, and boy, she's learned quick. Yvonne, you mentioned you went to university. I think you definitely got a master's degree in spiritual warfare now, and through a lot of unfortunate training. And I think it's important for you guys listening to understand, if you have doors open in your mind, you can be attacked. And I don't say that to put fear on people. It's just an honest statement. If you've never humbled yourself to go for an exorcism, you should. Ooh, Satan hates humility. It's the opposite of pride. So many people are prideful, myself included. We're all sinful people, and pride is part of the sinful nature. So by humbling ourselves and going for an exorcism, there's great power in that. And if you are a parent and your children are under 18, you and your spouse should go. Even if you're a single parent, go get cleaned up so you could break the generational curses off of you and off of your children, so they don't have to suffer the way you've suffered. So Yvonne, in her situation, if her parents would have became a Christian, if they would have went through an exorcism when she was a child and broke the generational curses, got the demons expelled, they would have been broken off of her as a child. And she would have had a much better chance in life to live a much more peaceful existence and following Christ. Yvonne, let's come back to you. Let's talk a little bit about the Freemasonry that was in the church there in the building. Can you share a little bit of that with us and about the altar with the Freemasonry symbols on it?
Yes. The church here started about 150 years ago, which is pretty old in Australia because as a country, and the church coming to our land. But very early on, the sons of the guy who began to establish the ministry before there was a building got involved with the Masonic temple, the Masonic lodge. Thank the Lord, it's actually shut here now. So there isn't an active temple, but we're surrounded by small rural towns and their temples are all active. And there would be people from our town that go to lodges. So all the building structures here were built by Masons, and the church that's here currently, it's actually only 50 years old because we have a water table. So the first thing which was really appalling was they tapped into the bore that we have in the town and they used divination or that to water all the gardens. And the minister they had at the time designed a Masonic church, and I found the plans for that in the vestry. They didn't actually build that specific church, but the table that was in the church design was the altar that we had in our building, and it was some sort of, it, to me it looked like cement, but it was some sort of stone. And it was quite ugly and it was very cold, and it was placed at the front of the church, and we only took it out, we managed to take it out last year. So we did all the things. We rededicated the old table, we anointed it, we used communion wine. We did all the things that we knew to bring the table under the authority of God. But in the end, one of my leaders said, we need to get that out of the building. It's an abomination. Now, what was really interesting, Justin, is it had to be jackhammered out because it was cemented into the front sanctuary, into the ground, into the foundations. And when we took it apart, we found all the Masonic men had signed under their names underneath the table and inserted a monetary curse asking for their family to be blessed. And so when the guys took the table out, we instructed them that they were not to use that material on anything. and it was taken to the tip. Now, that week, we put in a beautiful wooden table, and interestingly, we had 80 committed Christian Samoan men arrive to work in our abattoirs, and they were there for the dedication. And as they sung, it felt like the roof was going to lift off. And the spiritual dynamic in the church has entirely shifted. So we've done a lot of work repenting the leadership here for the history that's here and bringing the church and all its buildings under the authority of Jesus Christ, and removing anything symbolically that have been aware of that was linked to masonry. So a lot of repentance. So what that meant was, because all the buildings were Masonic, is that when we came under satanic attack, we were very vulnerable. And there's all sorts of consequences in the church with people. The church in Cootamundra as a whole is weak. The churches fracture, kick out their ministers, and form small little factions or groups. So the church as a whole is not healthy in Cootamundra, and I think that's the influence Freemasonry has had on the town. So our church is moving out of that under Jesus Christ, and we're now starting to see growth, which is absolutely miraculous, and the power of God.
That is awesome. How exciting that now the Spirit of God can move more freely in the church. And it's interesting, this is a physical building that's cursed from Freemasonry, putting in all, literally asking to be blessed and buried at the foot of this table. When you ask to be blessed like that, you're actually opening up a curse for poverty and other things to come. Wow. So to get all of that out, clean it up. Now think of this process in your own life. Let's apply this church cleanup to your own life. Getting rid of the table. They took the table out. They brought in a new one, and it was wooden. They celebrated, right? So they took out the evil. That's when we get demons expelled out of ourselves, again, by humbling ourselves and going to an exorcist, right? So they get rid of the table. They clean up all the Masonic garbage out of the church, out of the buildings around the church. And guess what happened? The whole spiritual environment changed. Hallelujah. The whole spiritual environment changed. And now they're starting to see growth. Oh boy, can I apply this to our lives? Get rid of the demons, and the whole spiritual environment changes inside of your mind, completely changes when you get rid of them demons. And then there starts to be, just like they had growth in the church, there starts to be growth in your life. The struggles drop off. They're not at the intensity. I always tell people, when you have demons, your intensity is at a 10 when it comes to whatever they got you in bondage to, that you can't stop, you can't whatever, whether it's depression, isolation, porn addiction, drugs, it doesn't matter, whatever it is, that's at a 10. When you go through an exorcism, that drops down to a 3, which is tolerable. So we can't ever fully get rid of demons around us, but instead of them being in us, they're outside of us. So now we can resist them much more effectively. This is wonderful. This is very inspiring. Thank you so much, Yvonne, for sharing your life with us, for sharing the beautiful redemption of this church, the reestablishing of Jesus Christ, putting it under his authority, his lordship. You're starting to see growth. You yourself have been through exorcism sessions as a reverend, and you have been freed up. Thank you, Lord. This is amazing. So we're at the end here, Yvonne, and I'm going to ask you, like I do every guest, to share some words of encouragement with people. Talk to them about how important it is to humble yourself and go for an exorcism. You're a reverend. You are a reverend, but you humbled yourself and you went for help. So important. And then just maybe speak to clergy, bishops, priests, ministers, pastors, reverends, encouraging them to get checked out. It's not going to hurt anything. So if you can just take a minute, encourage people, because there's a lot of people that listen to the podcast. They know they have demons, but they don't want to go. Some of them are afraid, fearful of exorcism. Some of them just don't want to humble themselves. My belief for that listener is that eventually you will get there. You will get there where you're like, you know what, I'm done, and go. But anyhow, Yvonne, if you could just share some encouragement with the audience, go ahead.
One of the things that's really important in my life is that in all things, God works for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So Jesus showed me that demons were real. And so that meant that I was being called into that ministry. What I didn't realize is that I needed to go through the process myself. And yeah, that's humbling, but it is the best thing that I ever did because I'm on fire for Jesus Christ. And I don't have to use the word of God to convince myself. I know that deep within. And now, because I've been through this experience, I've gone on and trained myself to be able to assist people that are demonized. And not everybody in my church is open to this, but those that are on fire for Jesus as a result. And that is why we're experiencing growth here in our church. So let me encourage you, make an appointment with Justin or Pastor Selwyn Van Wyk, if you're in Australia, and deal with your history, because it's really important. Early Christians went through deliverance process with the apostles when they were being discipled, and we still need to do it today. If you're a pastor, let me assure you, if you have open doors in your life, the enemy will use it and come against you. So you don't want to have those doors open. Get them closed. Bless you. Great to be here today, Justin.
You may be demon possessed, and this is the first time you're coming to the realization of it. If that's you, I'd like to invite you right now to go to my website, justind.com, and book a session with me. Until next time, God bless.